Welcome to This Old Computer. I'm your host, Bob Vila. Today we'll be talking to a man who owns an old but beautiful piece of hardware from the late Victorian era of computing. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Bob.
Craig, what do we got here?
Well, Bob, I've got myself a Pentium 3 desktop with a 10-gig hard drive, 128 mega RAM, an NVIDIA GeForce 4 graphics card. Any clues what I can do with this thing?
Wow, Craig, that's an oldie but a goodie. You've got a lot of work on your hands, but with a little time, money, and TLC, I'm sure we can get this thing humming along like an early P4. Well, let's get started. Well, there you are, Craig.
Wow, thanks, Bob. I got a new AMD 64 motherboard, a 250-gig hard drive, DVD drive, graphics card, 2-gig of RAM. I've got a whole new machine, but with the classic-style case from 1999. It's a beauty.
There you have it, folks. Another happy owner. See you next time on This Old Computer.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Welcome, new listener and veteran from wherever you are. You found Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at all things tech, science, sci-fi, and geek in general. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi. This is show number 97 for April 3rd, 2006. With me, I've got not one but two special guests. We've got our usual Craig Stepp.
Yeah, I'm special. I'm sure he's doing the quotes.
And March is gone, April's here, and summer is also here.
Yay!
We've got a returning guest, Summer Brooks, who's visiting us from the Dragon Page, Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas, and a plethora of other places on the net. Welcome, Summer.
You forgot the Babylon podcast.
I was going to say, man.
Babylon podcast. Babylon and on and on and on. That's what we do. We Babylon and on and on.
Yes, but no, I'm happy to be back.
Great! Hey, we've got a lot of stuff to cover, and Summer's going to keep us yakking till the wee hours of the morning. We've got April Fool's gags, some that you may have heard of, some that you may have not, some that we may have not. We've got lots of talk about Firefly and Doctor Who with a new segment we've created. And I also have a trick question for Summer. Actually, not a trick question, but more of a curiosity about how time zones are handled in locations such as hers that don't change the time zone. So with that, we will be right back after the usual on this day in tech history. Stick with us.
Let the abuse begin.
On this day in tech history. For April 3rd, 2006. This is April 3rd, it's the 93rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are only 272 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1860, the first successful Pony Express run from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California begins and is completed on April 13th. The delivery service was replaced 18 months later by the Transcontinental Telegraph. Gottlieb Daimler is granted a German patent for his engine design on this date in 1885. And on this date in 1953, TV Guide debuts. The same date on the same year, the first practical office computer, the IBM 701, is introduced. At that time, office computer referred to the size of the thing. On this date in 1972, the first ever mobile phone call is placed in New York City. And on this date in 1986, IBM unveils the PC Convertible, their first laptop computer. Suspected Unabomber Theodore Kaczynski is arrested at his Montana cabin on this date in 1996. And finally, on this date in 2000, in the court case United States versus Microsoft, Microsoft is ruled to have violated United States antitrust laws by keeping an oppressive thumb on its competitors. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1529 to the German mathematician and astronomer Michael Neander. Also born on this date in 1926, Virgil Gus Grissom, one of the original seven Mercury astronauts. And finally, English zoologist Jane Goodall turns 72 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for April 3rd, 2006.
Hi, this is Brian from Coverville, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig from Technorama.
I'm awake.
Summer?
Summer, are you awake? Summer?
I'm here.
We're working like a well-oiled machine.
I'm trying to keep up with the chat. I missed a bit here.
We've got Craig. I'm gonna skip over the first couple things, and we'll come back to them. I want to get the news.
Okay,
that was our news desk. You found something interesting about the Apple iPod that fits right in the Technorama scheme of things, and the weird and wonderful.
Oh, the one giant leap. For advertising thing?
Yes. Apparently.
Yes, it's...
Well, bring him through this.
Go ahead. You talk about it, Chuck.
All right. We found this on Boakes.org, B-O-A-K-E-S.org. We'll have a link in the show notes, of course. And as some of you may know, April 1st, I think, was Apple's 30th birthday. Wow, how time does fly.
No kidding.
How come I'm always in the wrong place at the wrong time? Well... Granted, I was somewhat of a young buck back then, and they had
young
me out classed. Hey.
Hey, maybe that's what they talked when you were born, but they don't do that, and they don't say that now. Young lad.
All right, rub it in. Rub in the birthday thing. Keep it going.
Yeah. Anyway.
It says that... Apparently, Apple is trying this big marketing advertising thing that you can actually see their advertisement from space. Steve Jobs acquired a location somewhere in the Australian outback. In a poker game, he won this property. And it turns out this is something like, what do they say? 893,240 square meters, roughly equivalent to 8 football pitches. Which, for us English people, that's soccer fields. And they are lighting this up, and it depicts an Apple iPod, and you can see it from as high as 62 miles or 100 kilometers in the sky.
I mean, it's pretty amazing to look at, but you know what? I think it's just an anomaly. I don't think win in poker.
Now, granted, this is not one of those April Fool's things, because this article is dated March 25th. So I had a hard time buying this. But
anyway, it looks like one, though.
It looks like an April Fool's, or it looks like an iPod?
No, I mean, it looks like an iPod sitting there.
You know who we need?
Yeah, we need to get Philip, you know, our Aussie down there to go check it out. I'll give him the Google Earth coordinates, and we'll send him out there.
Yeah, Australia is just a little country. He could drive that in a day.
Yeah.
Or walk it.
That's
only
like
this far on the map.
That's like, Craig, could you check out something in Idaho for me?
Oh boy,
see you the later. Only person I know in the U.S.
Yeah.
just a hop, skip, and a jump over there.
Philip, we'll send him over there. He can take some Tam Tams with him.
I right-clicked on the selection I made, and I would not have the copy option to save my life, nor could I hit Control-C.
Could Grease Monkey be involved?
He's there.
Welcome to the Firefox Forum.
This is the Firefox Clearinghouse.
Yet another proof that magnetism isn't good for computer stuff.
Man, I can't get connected.
What was that?
This is Douglas C. Welch of Career Opportunities, the High-Tech Career Handbook, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Facts and strange stories, that's what we're all about. We've got a way for you to run damn small Linux from your Zen Micro if you've got one. There's an article of a person who actually did this. Damn small Linux is down to, what, 50 meg right now?
Yeah, it's small. It's something like 50 meg.
And you can partition. There is a way to partition the memory in the Zen Micro and then load damn small Linux. I'm not sure what exactly they were doing with it, but...
I think you turn... Well, you just use it as a flash drive and boot off of it.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Or boot your system into Linux, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you set your machine up, do a USB boot, throw it on there, and away you go. That's pretty cool.
And listen to music while you're not doing anything else.
Yeah. Once your OS boots up, you have your hard drive shot, you just hook it up, and you're away to go.
We also have a ton of April Fool's gags. We'll go through some of our favorites.
Oh, yeah. Here's the first one. The Linux distro for the Barbie. The little Barbie computers.
This was actually semi-believable.
Yeah, it's a whole big write-up. But you know those little pink and purple fake laptops that they sell?
They could have used the old iMac G3s.
Yeah. They got the little LCDs in the middle. But anyway, they have a whole write-up about... The Barbie OS 1.0 uses a high-performance Riser FS journaling file system for the i3.
Some of these people just go through way too much time to put together a good April Fool's gag.
I know.
You notice this?
Yep.
Let me see if I can find some of my favorite quotes in here. This is from Mattel's chief software architect, Maury Sestorino. If Barbie were a career-focused woman working in the IT industry in 2003, she would support open standards, he says. She would be seeking out free and open-source alternatives to current proprietary solutions, saving her company tens of thousands of dollars on management headaches associated with tracking software licenses and preparing for BSA audits. It's like, good grief.
And then we're getting on her, what was that recording about a long time ago? Math is difficult.
Oh, or whatever. Yeah.
I believe the actual quote was, math is hard.
Math is hard. And they got all over her. Now what is she going to say about IE sucks?
Now she's a Linux geek. Yeah.
It's about damn time.
Now they've labeled her as a Linux zealot.
Most of the software in Barbie OS is licensed under the GPL, but Mattel has stated that any of its copyrighted artwork, logos, and references to Mattel and Barbie must be removed in... Any distributions derived from the Barbie OS source code.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Hey, I'm moving right along, my kids.
Yeah, right. Moving right along to my other favorite one was, we're all familiar with Make Magazine. Are you familiar with it, Summer?
Nope.
Make Magazine, where they do all the do-it-yourself articles and stuff. Anyway, instead of Make Magazine, they turn into Buy. if you go, instead of making your own stuff, they have, it said their designer... worked on a new layout for the magazine. If you look at the pictures, it says, obey, buy, do not question authority, watch TV.
No imagination, stay asleep, obey.
Yeah, you know where they got that from, right?
Yeah, they live or whatever.
They live.
Yeah.
Classic
put
movie.
The sunglasses on, you'd see all the stuff that was written out.
Wow, I'm glad we brought Summer in here. I completely missed that reference.
Oh, man, actually, that's the first thing I thought of. I was like... Especially when it said obey. I was like, oh yeah, so they live.
They live.
Say they live, yes.
And then my favorite. No, wait, yes, this is my second favorite coming up. The RIAA and the MPAA merge and form.
Mafia.
The Music and Film Industry Association of America, the Mafia.
That's great.
That was good.
Mafia.org. to go see that.
The thing is would there be a legal battle for copyright infringement on that name?
Ooh.
I don't know.
Because, hey, there's those guys have a lot of money and a lot of muscle. Hey,
now, I noticed
copyright
this.
A fruit. You can copyright some letters. Fruit. Apple.
I know. What I'm wondering is they took the time to register mafia.org, but not .com. Makes you wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite has to be the one that came across, what was it, yesterday from Victor?
Mm-hmm.
SQL on Rails. Oh my God. There is a web clip in there that looks just like a couple of geeks doing a product promo. They click on a wizard or run an init command, and it generates like 76,000 lines of code. You know, and it's that simple. They're trying to model this Google-like search engine. And meanwhile, they're all going through, oh, it's just amazing how little code it takes to do some of these very simplistic tasks. At first it was kind of irritating going, they talk like they're not very good at presenting, but that was part of the charm of this whole thing. Then they say, you just have to go to line 54321 to create a new function to add into a search text box, because, you know, without a text box, the search isn't much good.
You're right. What good April Fool's gags did you see on the net there, Summer?
The one that I had the most fun with was the JoeBlow.com's announcement of the casting choice for Wonder Woman.
Now, you were just talking about this a week or two ago on Slice of Sci-Fi, were you not?
Well, they have been going back and forth with, you know, no cast has been. No one's been cast yet. I mean, literally, Joss Whedon just finished a script maybe like a week ago.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And so this article pops up on Joe Blow, which is, you know, JoBlo, and they credit this information as coming from Joss Whedon's official website. It's a press release. And you read through there saying, you know, that, you know, Joss Whedon has picked Kate Beckinsale as to be Wonder Woman, and then it starts to go through how other actresses had to woo him for the part, and, you know, and he's like, you know, he talks about, you know, quote, bagging the actresses that tried out for the role, and then it just goes on and on, and the fact that it came from JossWhedon.com, I saw the storm on the Browncoats mailing list that I'm on, and they're like, and then one guy posts, after about 10 people had a brain, just like had their brain snap online, one guy posted, did you guys read the entire article? Because the very, very last couple of lines says, Whedon, who was so impressed with Joe Blow, said that he would even take part in the site's annual April Fool's Day gag this year, which was a nice thing of him to do, especially since that's what you've been reading this entire article. That's right, every word is untrue, folks. Gotta love the internet.
Apparently somebody didn't read it.
And most of the people didn't get to that last paragraph because they were so busy just having just brain damage happen right there on them. And that's funny. I cracked up.
Darwin theory in action.
Right. Killing yourself online.
No, this is what happens when geeks read too fast. They read half of the article, think they know what the article's about, and immediately start to spread the rumors.
Now, we've got a little bit more talk about Joss Whedon and some of his creative ventures right after this.
This is Mike Smith, host of the Mike Tech Show podcast at miketechshow.com. And you're listening to the Technorama Podcast. Now, back to Chuck and Craig.
Catch the Asian sensation that's sweeping the nation. The beer in a dark, opaque bottle. Hocken Hefeweizen. Hocken sounds German, but make no mistake. It's from Asia, every part of Asia. In fact, it's microbrewed just about everywhere and includes almost everything as ingredients. no two bottles taste quite the same. Some beers are cold filtered. Hocken isn't filtered at all. In fact, you'll want to use a strainer when you pour it in your glass.
Is that fur?
The Hocken six pack comes with a special collection dish and a toothpick.
You know what owls do after eating a mouse?
Try Hocken Hefeweizen today, and you'll never be the same. Hocken Hefeweizen. So thick you can eat it with a fork, but use a spoon to get every drop.
Mm-mm-mm.
That's a mm-mm good.
Not.
There's a whole story about how we came up with that, but we'll save that for another time.
Yes.
Well, like I mentioned, I finished watching all of my Firefly DVDs that Craig gave me for a birthday. What was it? About a week ago.
Yep.
That didn't take long.
So you're only about 4 years behind everybody else in doing that?
It was a great show when it came out, Chuck.
That's why I'm glad they didn't make more. I'd really be screwed at this point. No, I really enjoyed it. Started at the beginning, which is interesting that they didn't air them in the order they were created. I was watching some of the special features at the end, and Joss was saying that Serenity was actually the first, was the pilot, but they put that three or four episodes in.
No, they aired that dead last. Here's the problem. The Fox execs saw the pilot movie, the two-hour episode, and didn't get it. So they told Joss to go back and do something else. So he and I think Tim Minar wrote the Train Job episode in like a week, filmed it, and they did that episode first. And literally, I watched every single episode. I might have missed one episode when it was airing on Fox Live. And I said, the show is good. I have the potential to love this show, absolutely love this show, but there's something missing.
How about an intro of all the characters?
Then, exactly. Then they announced it was going to be canceled, but they were going to show the original pilot anyway. And as I'm watching this pilot, every single nagging question I had about the series, like, okay, what happened here? Where did this happen? How did this start? Was answered in that pilot. And I literally cursed every Fox executive involved with messing up the show and canceling it, to the point where, and I used to be a really, really big fan of 24. I stopped watching all Fox shows. Everything that was on Fox networks, that was on FX, I stopped watching Fox Network, period, after they canceled that.
Family Guy too?
Simpsons?
Everything. I stopped watching everything. Mm. Everything on Fox. That's how annoyed and angered I was.
We've touched a nerve.
Hey, but yet they'll keep like Married with Children off for ages on end.
Jeez.
Well, I wish they would have, I mean, granted, if there was time, but even in that one season, they started hinting at some of the mystique around Shepherd Book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially the last one that was on the DVD where the bounty hunter comes to get River and he knocks out Shepherd and they're walking by and he goes, that's no Shepherd.
Like, yeah.
Oh, really? And the way he had access to the medical facility?
Yeah. The way they just looked at his ident card and go, okay, get him in there. Like, okay, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Like, he has something going on behind there. It's like, you know, two or three or four seasons down the road, that would have been really interesting to dig more into that.
I think if the series had been able to go a full season, we would have had a different world. I really do. I honestly think that canceling this television series before it had a chance to breathe was a crime against humanity. That's what I think.
Well, speaking of crimes against humanity, I'm still upset that I have to wait till October for Battlestar to come back.
Yeah.
That's why.
Actually, you might get an early Galactica taste.
Oh.
Might. Yes.
Oh, yeah?
What
is this taste you speak of?
This taste I speak of is, are you familiar with the Smart Pop series of essay collections from Ben Bella Books?
No.
They have a book that my favorite one is Five Seasons of Angel. They have one that's Seven Seasons of Buffy. They have one on Charmed. They have one on the Harry Potter books. They have one on Philip Pullman's Dark Materials series. They have one on NYPD Blue. They have one on The Matrix. They have one on Farscape that T. Morris contributed to. They have one on what's the other one?
T. Morris, we've talked to him.
Yeah, you guys have talked to him. Yeah, if you go to benbellabooks.com and look at their Smart Pop series, you'll see it. Name a popular TV show or series of books, and they probably have a collection on it.
Was it like filler material?
No, not filler material. Between? These are commentaries from authors, writers. The Angel collection actually has a couple of articles written by people involved with the production of Angel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, their little, what's the word I'm looking for? Observations on the series, observations on one of the characters. In the Buffy one, there's a hilarious article. It's done as a senior thesis, as a doctorate thesis, mm-hmm. by a demon. no, literally, she is defending her theory that Xander is the true superpower in Sunnydale. It's hilarious. I cried laughing at, and it's so well done. It is so completely well done.
I'm totally not familiar with it. So it's like, well, I guess that one was written a little in the vein of a thesis, but is it like the director's commentary, sir, but by the staff and stuff like that?
No. It literally varies. Like in the Angel book, there's actually a sex therapist who's written her observations on the character interactions in the series. There's a wide variety of topics these people write on. In the Angel one, they had a couple of people who were on set talking about their experiences. I think there was even one that was a funny, like how, you know, getting the show canceled or something. But they're people, like writers, science fiction and fantasy writers, observations of the shows that they love. Okay? Ben Bella Books is putting one out this fall on Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
It's in process now, and
it'll be out before October.
It'll be out before October, because they did one on Firefly that came out. It originally, since Serenity was supposed to come out in, what was it, April of last year?
Oh yeah, it was supposed to come out in earlier in the year, and they pushed
it supposed to come out in April, and the book came out in April. So the book was out like 5 months before the movie came out, instead of at the same time the movie was out. Now they're having a Galactica one, and hopefully my act will be together. I have a contribution, an article in that book.
Oh, cool.
Neat.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely will check that out then.
Yep. Have you been keeping up with Doctor Who, Summer?
It's still on my DVR. I'm a little behind on that. It's my fault.
Have you watched any of the season one?
No.
No Rose, no End of the World, no...
No.
You know what? I take that back.
I watched the first 10 minutes of...
Rose?
The first episode, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
You know, it's slowly growing on me. It's kind of like Farscape was, you know, kind of... At first, I didn't know what to make of it, you know, it's kind of... I don't know. I like it. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty good, but, you know, it's a little out there. The Doctor's always... happy and cheery about anything. It's like, oh, that's cool to watch. That's
cool. Until things get serious. I've been listening to the Podshock podcast, which is a little long, but one of our friends and listeners, James Naughton, does that one with two other guys. And I believe it's at Podshock. Oh, he's going to kill me. I can't remember. But if you just look for Podshock in iTunes, you'll find it. they cover not only the current show, but they feature some other older shows, you know, from the Baker eras, and just they really analyze this thing to death, and a lot of good insight, because some of these guys have watched it for years and years, whereas I'm a fair newbie to it, and they'll throw you bones, like you know, recent episode, the ship didn't quite get them where they wanted to, you know, wrong year, right day, but wrong year and wrong location. They thought they were going to Naples in 1860. They wound up in Cardiff in 1869. And that was just some of the charm that they used to have, that the ship has, you know, quirks. Their technology isn't perfect. And on this latest one, he was working on it because, you know, he was supposed to get Rose back 12 hours after she had left, and it was 12 months. So, oops, spoiler alert there. So I love listening to their podcast to kind of get some of the dirt and behind the scenes stuff, as well as some insight into the way things used to be. And you go, oh, you know, this is funny for the old timers, but some of the newer people may not pick up on it. It was really good stuff. I like the show. And it's also got some of that, although the effects are really, really good, they've upgraded them. They haven't upgraded them to the point where they're, you know, it's not like watching the effects from Battlestar Galactica. You know what's CGI, but you also know there's some cheesy stuff in there, too. I mean, real good 1960s and 70s cheesy effects.
here's the bad part. I should have watched all of these months ago, because we had a listener send us DVDs from across the pond, and they're, I don't know where they are. Somebody, they're either lost at the studio, at Mike's place.
I don't say they're on top of Ebo's TV right now.
Oh, no, he watched them. He watched them all, burn through them, and brought them back. I just don't know where they are now.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm starting to enjoy it. I'm with Chuck. The special effects, you know, they're not, you know, Hollywood by any means, but they're good and it's watchable. So, I like the story. I think that's the big thing about it.
It's the storyline. It's starting to tie together. It really is. It's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
He's hacking!
During the school day, I would spend like 8 hours still on that once I got home.
So that's what happened.
That stunted my growth.
Run it by me again, I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, I mean, nothing really could shine a light at that.
Sounds more like an antiperspirant to me.
What's it about?
What text editors do you use?
Wait a minute.
Is that enough time to take a drink of water? If so, post facto?
It's my birthday, so I might as well give something away to balance out the presents I will get.
He had a voice upgrade.
That was before the upgrade.
Have you used that?
I have not, no.
This is how the professionals do it, folks. Wife, I'm like, what are you doing?
Being razzed behind the scenes, save me.
Oh my gosh, how can you fast forward through that song?
Because I listened to it twice and go, all right, I've heard the music. Like, you can turn a 42-minute show into a 37-minute show.
Well, I look at it this way. I fast forward through the commercials. However, I like to watch the intro to my shows, even on DVR, because it sets the mood for when I'm getting ready to watch.
Mm-hmm. And that music definitely, it's what makes you a brown coat, man. Jeez.
Yeah, Chuck, I can't work like this, man.
I try not to sing on the podcast anyway. There, I'll use that as my crutch.
Okay.
Time for more stuff you don't see on Star Trek. The crew of the Enterprise discover a totally new life form, which later turns out to be a rather well-known old life form wearing a funny hat.
I like that. There's a new network of podcasters, FIT, the Friends in Tech. Sounds like they got something cool going on there.
How long are we still considered a new network?
Yeah, it's over. Well, that's like listening to the radio, and they go, "Here's a new song from so and so," and it's like 8 months old.
Dude, I listen to stuff on the oldies station and go, "I remember when this was new." Oh, well, there's that birthday thing again.
Let's see. There's dirt, trees, and then there's Chuck.
Okay. Hey. Someone thinks that's funny. All right, you talk about Bill and Ted.
Yeah, so I don't know much about it, but I did see a link to Bill and Ted's excellent musical adventure. Apparently, it's gone to the big stage.
There's music on this website too, which is actually pretty good.
Did you download it?
I listened to a couple of them. Some of it sounds very 80s-ish.
Yeah, I never could see Bill and Ted being a stage production, but you know, oh well.
Hard to believe that was Keanu Reeves.
Not on stage, but
We said he who must not be named.
Oh, he can be named on this show.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, my show, I name what's the Matrix? Anyway, I just thought that was hilarious when I saw that.
It kind of struck me as odd when I did see Bill and Ted the Musical going, huh? What?
You know, I can watch Bill and Ted. I actually like the movies, the movies, but the only reason I like them is because I can turn my mind off and just sit there and watch it.
Oh, I've got one of my friends who's watched the thing numbers and numbers and numbers of times. In fact, he quotes it regularly.
Really? I'll set the DVD for repeat, but, you know, I watch it every once in a while. Mm-hmm.
The first one was funny. The second one, I didn't think it was all that great.
Yeah, it's kind of stretched a little bit. Mm.
What was that, anyway. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey?
Yeah. Where they go to hell and have to bargain with the devil or something. Is that it?
They're playing chess and checkers or whatever with the Grim Reaper.
Sounds an awful lot like Little Nicky. Then.
Actually, it wouldn't have been so bad if they didn't have to bring the robot versions of Bill and Ted in. And I was like, okay, this is going a little far.
Well, anyway. we bring the robot version of me into the show.
Yeah,
and the chat room. He's out tonight. Yeah. By the way, we should let Summer know that the IRC room normally does have a bot called RoboChuck 2000.
Really?
And he's got a well-stocked fridge contributed by many of the people in the chat room, which we haven't done. We haven't given a shout-out to the chat room.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, anybody that hasn't been to the chat room play with RoboChuck, and I know Summer probably hasn't, he has a fridge, and you can add things to the fridge, and as people can request things back out of it. He's an IRC bot.
Okay, how do I go play with RoboChuck here?
We're gonna have to. He's in for a lube job right now.
Oh, okay. can I get a copy of RoboChuck or something similar to it? Because I think having an IRC chat room for winging it would work a whole lot better than Skype solution we were working on.
Oh, definitely. And,
yeah,
we can help you set that up.
Yeah, I'll send you a bill and we'll get you going.
We learned things just a few days ago that we can pass on to you.
Sweet.
I just learned about ChanServe this week. I know all about the channel server.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Well, we're going to wrap it down. Give us the end of show stuff. Wait a minute. Before we go, we got to remind everybody that show number 101 is coming, and we still want your audio clips if you haven't done so. Send us an MP3 or call us on the listener line that Craig will tell you about in just a moment. And don't forget, we still have the contest for the Extreme Mac AirPlay 2.
The secret email address is chopchat+airplay@gmail.com.
But don't tell your friends or they might enter too.
That's right.
Here, I'll hold it up in front of the webcam and, never mind.
Hold it up in front of the IRC channel.
Takes a picture every 30 seconds and I'm just too impatient.
There you go. Anyway.
I've still got that 19.2 millisecond interrupt running from my old 8088.
It was implanted in your brain?
That's right.
All right. Anyway, here's how you can contact us. You can call a listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com or send audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. You can email me at kreg@chuckchat.com. And the other constant universe is our website at chuckchat.com, where you can see our forums, WAG, webcam, mail links, all that good stuff.
The show is a friendly Friends in Tech member. Find out more at friendsintech.com. Forums are over there, actually, at forums.friendsintech.com. We're too lazy to put up our own, but it works better as a community to do it that way. And if you're not already subscribed, consider subscribing to the show for free. It is free, 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 free. iTunes makes it easy, and you can click on the link on the website there. If you can't figure any of that out, let Craig or I know, and we'll help you.
And we'll ignore you.
And don't forget to tell a friend about Technorama. There's the end of the show music, Craig.
That's it. Thanks, Summer.
That's the polite way to say.
You're welcome.
There's the door.
Trying to tell me something?
Thanks a lot, Summer. We had a great time.
You're welcome. I was happy to be here again.
Forgot to tell everybody that that part where we talked about Firefly and stuff, that's our new segment. Mm-hmm. We call, the Media Corner? I think that's how it was titled. So we're going to bring
that. The whole show was the Media Corner.
No, we still had the gags and things. Until next time, thanks for listening. Summer, can you give them a binary high five?
101, guys.
Grr. Arg.